This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars
and welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Third hour already. 6:03 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run way down south and check in with our good friend, Captain Rihanna Dela Cruz. Rihanna, good morning. How in the world are you?
Good morning, Mickey. I'm doing well. How are you, Mickey? It's always good to hear your voice.
Yours too. I look forward to this call every Sunday. What's up with you?
Man, oh, man, been fishing a lot. I'm taking the day off. The morning off. I might go out this afternoon for a little bit, a couple hours or so. But,
right.
Yeah, we've been hitting the water pretty hard this week. So,
well, that's good.
It's been interesting, to say the least.
The weather's really been better than the fishing has, from what I'm hearing.
Yes, it has.
My buddy's beautiful weather, but fishing's been kind of off a little bit, but
I will agree with that statement 100%. You know, I wish the weather was as awesome as the fishing, but sometimes that's always never the case. Whenever you get days where it's just so gorgeous, this full sun, of course, high barometer, you know, very little wind, you know, maybe 5 to 10 miles an hour. Those days you just want to be out at a park, you know, looking at birds or something, and not out there scrounging for a bite, because that's how it's been. You know, when that wind dies down, and even though we're in a good mood phase, I mean, I was excited for this week because of the new moon, which, you know how much I favor this moon cycle. And, you know, I just thought maybe after this recent cold snap that we had, you know, a week and a half ago or so, that, and that water's already been warmed up for a while. I mean, heck, right now mm-hmm. it's 73 degrees. 73 degrees.
Man, isn't that something, how fast that came up down there?
It's unreal, Mickey. I mean, yesterday, at one point, the water just was slick calm. There was no wind at all. It was starting to shift. It was coming out of the north, northeast first thing in the morning, that shifted over to the northwest, and it had a lot of west in it at one point, and it just died. I mean, just absolutely died. There was no wind at all. And so at that point, I was like, man, let's go back to the boat and have a snackaroonie, because that's about all you can do at that time, and wait for the wind to pick up. And once it picked up, it picked up straight out of the east. And I was like, man, you know, it's hard to fish those flats with the east wind, especially on a Saturday when you've got a lot of traffic, you know, in that area. And pretty much all the flats, you've got drifters, you've got several sets of wade fishermen. And so it can be difficult to set yourself up for a good wade with the conditions given. And but mm-hmm. you know, that's just how it goes. That's weekend fishing. You know, and then this yesterday morning and even this morning, we have a little bit of fog setting in, but it doesn't look like it's as bad as it was yesterday morning. Yesterday morning was pretty brutal. And
yeah, y'all had it bad down there. I know they had to delay the Legends tournament.
The Legends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what time they ended up shooting off, but I know we were going to head out at 6:30 to beat the morning crowd and get out there to our, you know, to our first wade and you know, get there pretty much beat the crowd. But it didn't happen. We didn't leave till about maybe 7:45. By the time we got to the end of the harbor, it was, you know, pushing 8, and there was still low visibility. I mean, at one point, I could see probably 75 yards in front of me. And so we just idled out, got up on plane, and maybe went about 15 miles an hour going across that channel. So it was
a slow plane.
Yeah, just trim down and just get out there easy. And so once we got out there, I didn't see anybody. I, you know, got on a good line that we've been fishing, and, you know, guys are confident there, plenty of bait there, beautiful potholes, and the fog lifts. And there's guys about maybe 150 yards from me, and I didn't hear them. And I said, you know what, that's a lesson learned for me, because if I would have gone any further east, I would have ran right into them. And I felt so bad about it. And at that point, you know, when they're out there fishing, you don't want to yell at them and and apologize and, you know, ruin their vibe, you know. So it was a learning experience for me, you know, because you just never know out there. And we can't always rely on our GPSs, because the GPS can very well go out in that condition, and I've heard of them going down in that condition when it's really foggy. You can't rely on them. So it was, even though you can be as careful as possible, there's still that small chance that something could happen. So it was definitely a learning experience. And I've been out in the fog several times, but on weekends when there's a lot of traffic in a high pressure area like Mansfield, and areas close to Mansfield, there's always going to be some people out there probably before the fog sets in, just so that, you know, they know what's fixing to come. So they probably set up out there super early, and I didn't, you know, it's just how it goes. But,
right.
You know, our tides here have been fluctuating pretty good. The tides are, when that water starts moving, it's moving, and it's been moving later in the day, which is kind of a offset, you know, for my guys, because of course we want to go out in the morning. We want to go out there first thing in the morning and take advantage of the, you know, the cooler water temperatures. And, and then you have to kind of wait, you know, the bite's been really good first thing in the morning, almost like at dark. And then from like 9 to 11:30, it slows down in between that time, and then it picks up during that late major, which yesterday I think, or the day before that, was like around 12:30, and it keeps going up from then. But you know, you have little windows where that bite will pick up, where it slows down, and so those times when it slows down, and then that wind dies down with it, it's tough. And so, you know, and I get guys that ask me, like, what do you do when it gets like this? And I'm like, well, you know, there's only one thing you can do. You can either, you can just grind it out, and you have to really, really slow your retrieve down. I mean, right now they want it a specific way, and it's a tiny, tiny little twitch. And we're working water that's, of course, for me, you know, it's just above knee deep to about knee deep water, you know, scattered sand pockets, mainly sand, with scattered grass beds. And, you'll get a little bit of turtle grass. And then I don't know what the name is for that kind of a wider, lighter grass. It's real, if you get snagged in that, it's hard to get out of it. I don't know the name for that specific weed. It's not even grass, it's like a weed, but you have some of that mixed in with that turtle grass and that shoal grass. The shoal grass is what I love, you know, because it's real thin and fine, and you can just really work your lure in that shoal grass with ease. But, you know, right now we're up way shallow, up on that white sand, and areas where it's crunchy. You can see the shell. You can see, you know, you walk and you can feel it. You know, it's real gritty. And up on that sand, working water that's only a foot and a half to a foot and three quarters, it's, you know, rod tip straight up, and you're working a column that's like maybe a foot. You know, you got to give in for the grass on the lower column, you know. And this week, one of my guys was having a little trouble, you know, working that water column where they wanted it, and it took a little while. I said, look, here's what I do, and I watched him and guided him through how they wanted it, because it was so funny, and it's how it always happens. You know, you get a line of guys, and I always like to stay right in the middle in case somebody sticks a good one or somebody needs help. I'm right there. And so my guy to the right of me, you know, he was like lowering the rod tip a little bit too much. That's where he was snagging that grass. And I said, watch me. So my rod is straight. It's like a 90 degree angle, and it's just a little subtle twitch. Like, I'm not even dropping. You want that little John to just work that middle to upper
just
column.
Just keep your rod up that, and do that little tip twitch, man.
Right. I said, you almost want that lure coming out of the water. I said, mine, when I get a little too fast, sometimes it jumps out of the water, but they're coming up. You know, trout naturally feed upward.
Sure,
I say,
they
so, you know,
they
you,
want it,
you,
they'll come up and get it, man.
Right. And so he was off to the right of me, and, And I was on a good line. You know, you get those little wind slicks, and then it's, you know, and right off of the edge of both of them, both edges of that wind slick, there was bait flicking, and also in within the slick itself. He was off to the right side of that slick. I was in the middle, and my other guy was kind of on the edge of the left side of that slick. And I was just, you know, pulling in some solid trout, redfish, and my guy to the right, he was having a little hard time with the grass. And so he's like, man, can I switch with you and get on that line right there? I said, absolutely. And so then I try to help him, you know, work that lure the way I was. And I switched sides with him. And kid you not, five casts later, I stuck a 7.5.
Oh,
and she
Lord.
Came up and shook, and I felt so bad. He said, I won't say what he said on here because I can't say it, but these guys are they're awesome. They're some of my best clients. I love it when they come fishing with me. It's so much fun, and it was just a funny experience. But he said, you know what? That proves to me that what you're doing is how they want it.
Well, that's right. That's it.
Yes, sir. That's right. So after that.
Technique and presentation. Let me knock this break out. I'll be right back at you, Rihanna. Hang on
a second. Sure thing.
All right.
Sure.
Well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. And no finer place to have all your processing done either. Short drive from Sealy off I-10 or Hempstead off 290. Go downtown, look for the big white sign, pull on in. Check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And check out their smoked sausage samples. They're available daily in the store. You can try it before you buy it. And they have bulk pricing available on their fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage. And their bone-in center-cut pork chops, $2.99 a pound, limited 10 pounds per customer. And check out their wild game processing. Their new sausage recipe they have available is really good. You got to try it. It's pretty awesome. Get deer tamales made, venison hot dogs. Your family will love that you did. The Belleville Meat Market celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 620 here in the Bayou City. All right, Rihanna, we're back in a flash.
All right. All righty. I'm still here thinking about that 7.5-pound trout.
Good fish.
That's yes, a good she was. Fish. She was very healthy. I mean, she had a lot of that cellulite, you know, on her belly. She was healthy. And we were throwing, of course, little johns, you know, small little johns. And when the sun is shining bright like that, clear, you know, water, and the water was clear, you know, it had cleared up from, you know, the wind blowing a couple days prior. And, of course, up shallow, when you get that turtle grass and all that grass up there, I think it filtrates that water pretty nicely, yeah, and pretty quickly. And so all that sand settled down, and so, I mean, the water was just gin clear. And so when conditions get like that, barometer's high, water's clear, full sun, I like to throw the small little johns downsized later in the day, you know, just to kind of entice a bite, you know. Sometimes they just don't want that bigger profile. So we'll downsize to a smaller profile, and I believe I was throwing the watermelon copper glitter, which is the smaller one, right. And with a you know, and at that time, I oftentimes will throw it with a 1/16 aught hook with the chartreuse jig head, but when the water gets that clear, I will deliberately go with just the conventional color, that, you know, that gray color. Sometimes they have like a copper tinted one, and so that one, either or, when the water is really clear, because I think that chartreuse is just a little too bold, mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to spook them off. So you know, and usually my guys, they know that I'm pretty big on that chartreuse jig head, and they saw me switch over to it, and they're like, yeah, I knew you switched over for a reason. I said, yep, because this water's really clear. And those guys there, they love the chartreuse jig head. And I said, look, by all means, if that's what you want to throw, and you're confident in that, and that little trigger color at the strike zone of that bait, throw it. I said, but me personally, because of what I'm seeing, you know, and we were spooking as we were walking in those potholes, and it was at, every single one of these puffs that I saw was at the edge of a pothole, every single one of them. And so they were laying down in those potholes. They're just, yeah, you know, just sitting in there. And, you know, we saw, and of course there was a lot of stingrays. And so I haven't seen this many stingrays since summertime. But that's how warm the water is right now. It's extremely warm. And up there on those flats, you know, I mean, where it's reading on the NOAA station is in the harbor. And so it's, that water is a little bit cooler than the water way up there on that white sand up in those flats where it's a foot and a half. It's probably, I wouldn't doubt that that water temperature is in the upper 70s late in the day.
I'll guarantee you.
Yesterday at one point, it felt like late spring. It was uh-huh. So hot. And one of my guys had a black top on. He was like, man, this is a bad choice wearing this thing.
Yeah, you never wear black fishing unless it's in dead of winter and it's really cold. You want to feel the heat off
and
the
of
sun.
Course, them Sims waders are a little bit on the dark side, too. And so, man, that sun and no wind, all that mixed in one. It was hot, hot, hot.
You know, it's so funny how we as fishermen, we can't wait to get our waders on in the fall because we know fishing's mm-hmm. really fixing to get good because the water's getting cold. And then in the spring, we can't wait to peel them off because we know the water's going to be the right warmth and fishing's going to be good again. So that's weird how we go through that every year.
It's a little phase, you know. I mean, and I do enjoy slipping them waders on every morning, but, you know, by the end of wader season, I'm ready.
You're ready
to
get out
off.
Of them, yeah.
I'm
tired
ready.
Of, you know, tired of dealing with it.
One less thing to worry about in the mornings. It's one less thing out of my routine. You know, one less thing to worry about when you're out there. You know, I mean, I'm a minimalist when I'm
when I'm out there. You know, I've got my little Wade bag, my Boga, right, and my rod and reel, and that is it. And so the waders can oftentimes be in the way, and whenever we lose those, it's just one less thing that I have to deal with, and I love that, you know. And so,
yeah,
got to have the shirts with all the pockets on them in case you need to put some stuff on them or in them, you know. In the
That's me, man. I wade fish. I'm pocket city, buddy.
Yep.
I got soft plastics in one pocket, jig heads in another, you know.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, that structure that we've been fishing, shot way up shallow, you know, that's where they've been. And we're seeing, a matter of fact, the other day I foul hooked. I was throwing a Jose soft on, which is gold. It's got gold shimmer, and it's also got black dots on it. It's a custom corky. The name of it's Jose, and I love that soft
Jose
on.
Can you see?
Yes sir. Yeah, when that sun comes out, that bait,
I bet it lights off. Yeah,
oh, beautifully. You can see, when you cast it as far as you can see it flashing through that waterway out there when the water's clear. And I've had some really good bites on that color all winter long. And it's usually after a cold front, or when it's a high barometer, clear sky, just let that thing just waddle down in potholes, and man, they just hammer it. But that color there, anything, of course, with copper, gold, even silver shimmer. But right now, I think they're really liking the gold and copper. The other day, I foul hooked a pinfish with that Jose soft on, and I mean that little fish was the same size as that Jose, and so that's what they're feeding on. They've got a whole buffet available to them right
yeah.
now, you know. And there's, I know in one area that we went to, the amount of finger mullet that I saw flipping out of the water. I even saw some shrimp, some pretty good sized shrimp. And I'll tell you this, the shrimp boat is out there shrimping, you know, in areas that are pretty close by. So that alone tells me that the food source there is tremendous. I mean, they're not going without, you know. They've got plenty of food to go around. And we did notice a bull shark in one of the areas that we do fish, which, you know, I know some folks don't like to see those things, but that is a sign of a healthy ecosystem. That's a sign of a healthy bay system. When you see those sharks, there's fish in the area. They're feeding on you know, maybe small trout or you know, bigger size mullet. And that area that we saw that bull shark, the bait in there is just unreal. And you know, sometimes, and I remember last year in the summertime, I think I had talked about this on your show about, can there be too much bait? And I know this one time, it was in the summer, I had a group with me. There was this defined bait line. I mean, it wasn't a wind slick. It was a bait line. And in that one, the finger mullet, I remember seeing them just shoot out. And we were catching small trout underneath it, just a bunch of, you know, dinks. You know, but
yeah,
man, whenever they would get spooked, that bait would just, you know, like it looked like fireworks going off all the way down on that line as far as you could see. And when it gets like that, when you see it, it's an adrenaline rush. I mean, when I see stuff like that, I just get this adrenaline rush. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's got to be some bigger trout right outside on the edge of that bait line, or you know, it seems like the small trout are right underneath it.
Yeah, they'll gang up big time right underneath it, seize an opportunity. The big ones will lay out away from that
and then
seize their opportunity in a different manner. Those little ones, they're greedy, you know. That's all.
Yes.
Little trout
yes.
have to eat a lot more than big trout do.
Right. Exactly. And so, you know, when we saw that bait line, even my clients that trip, they were – they were amazed, you know, to see it, because, you know, you don't see that too often. In certain times of the year, we do get on bait lines like that, but whenever they start jumping out of the water like that, you can just hear those trout just sucking in the water. Man, it's amazing.
I love that slurping sound.
Oh my goodness! When they start doing that, you already know what's there. You know what's making that sound. But you know, when we were fishing that bait line, we didn't have a whole lot of luck. We caught nothing but, you know, a solid four and a half, 5 pounder maybe. But we didn't catch any big ones. Those big trout were not. They didn't want nothing to do with that fiasco. They were not there. Redfish were there. Small trout were there, but those big trout were not. They were not in the vicinity of that bait line. Of course, there it was pretty shallow too. It wasn't real deep. You know, it was primarily grass at that time because that was in the summer. So you know, it's funny how certain areas and structure, and bait is structure, you know, I consider that structure. And so
when there's that much of it, heck yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a full on structure right there. And so, you know, whenever I see that here in Mansfield, to me, I have to approach it a little bit different when I see it in Baffin. Oh man, when you see it in Baffin, it's a different story.
Yes.
You know, because typically, you know, we have a lot closer and nearby deep water access in Baffin. And of course, in Mansfield, we do too, but mainly it's just flats. We fish nothing but flats, and usually right. I'm way up skinny. This time of year, I'm way up shallow. And our deep water access is, you know, the intercoastal, which is way out there, or you,
right.
know, you have the East Cut, which, you know, is way out there too. Of course, on the West Shoreline, the West Shoreline is very similar to some areas in Baffin, but it's not always fishable. And I haven't been fishing the West Shoreline and you know, here in Mansfield, because whenever I'm not producing good, solid strike, not only myself, but my guys, I lose confidence in an area. It's just how it goes.
Right.
But whenever, you know, that's why I get guys that ask me, guys and girls that come on my boat, and I get this question so much. This is probably the most asked question, is how do you know where to stop? You know, how do you know, like, what's here? And I always tell them it's based off of previous data, you know, because we've been fishing similar structure. We've been fishing this similar line with, you know, all the signs that are present. There's bait, you know, there's birds working, there's an osprey diving, you know, white pelicans floating, you know, all in the same parallel line. You know, I mean, there's just a bunch of signs, but, you know, knowing where to stop it's really, truly, it's a gut feeling too. And, you know, you're fishing your eyes in the morning when I'm out there running. I'm looking for you know, a little bait flipping on the edge of a pothole or the edge of a grass bed, and that's all. Sometimes that's all it takes for me to stop. And I think, you know, coming from our standpoint, when we're out there, you know, 5 days out of the week, and we're fishing hard, you know, we gain patterns on these fish and on the bait and on the structure that we're focusing on. And so we're confident in certain areas, and some areas
yeah.
we're not. So those areas that we're not, I'm going to avoid until I start, you know, dissecting that area and studying it. And really and truly, that's what it comes down to, is just studying a certain area. And, you know, that West Shoreline, you know, here in Mansfield, is very similar to structure that I fish in Baffin. And so a part of me is like, you know, I'm not in the Baffin mindset quite yet. I'm still in the shallow, you know, maybe a foot and a half, foot and three quarter structure. I'm focused on that right now. And so I always say this, why leave fish to go find fish? You know, I know what's
why
there.
Why step all over Easter eggs to find more when you got them right there in front of you, you know?
That's right. And so, you know, minimizing the fishing time and, maximizing the fishing time, minimizing the run time when I've got clients with me that, you know, that want to fish, they don't, you know, they're not paying top dollar to run around in a boat and look for the most stellar thing out there. They're out there to fish.
That's it.
So, you know, that's why I focus, and I don't move around much this time of year. What we'll do is we'll get on a line where we can wade for 2 miles if we wanted to. We get on a bite, we'll slow down. If we don't get on a bite, we pick up the pace. And most of my guys understand that. They're good anglers, and they get it, you know? And of course I get some anglers that don't quite, you know the routine or know how to approach a structure, or maybe that want to move around a little bit more. And so, You know, you have to teach those folks. So
that's what you're there for. That's
fine.
Why they
booked
you.
That's what I'm there for.
You bet.
That's right.
All right, Rihanna. Well, I got to run, hon. If somebody wants to come down and fish with you, how do they get a hold of you? What's the best way?
You can reach me at 361-296-5400. Give me a call if you want to make it in here in Mansfield, or if you want to wait till Baffin later in the springtime. I think it's on fire in Baffin. It's fixing to be, so give me a phone call. Make it happen.
That'll hunt. All right. Well, hey, always good talking to you. You have a good week. Catch them up.
You too, Mickey.
All right, thank you.
Can't wait till next week.
See you. All right, later. All right. Well, Boyd's One Stop, they're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers, located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke, right at 227 Dyke Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live your bait than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand in the store. They have all their bottles on display, regulators, diffusers. They refill there at the store. If you need more info, you can call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And check out all their wild-caught guff shrimp. They have fresh there at Boyd's, whether you're looking for the 9, 12s, the 15, 18, whatever count, whatever size, they've got it for you. And their Cajun Grill next door puts out some really good food, too. And crawfish season's in full swing. Always think about Boyd's home for your next crawfish boil. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. 642 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down Matagorda Way and check in with our good friend, Captain Bink Grimes, see what he's up to. Good morning, Bink. What's up, man?
Good morning.
How are you
percolating? Watching the sun come up. Man, good. Good. I got a day off today, so feels
well,
pretty good.
Good.
I like to take Sundays off anyway. Go to church. Weather's been beautiful and fishing up and down, you know.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot of that roller coaster right now.
Yeah. It's had good days this week and slow days, you know. I just waited Monday and the water was still in the upper 40s, you know, just wading. And, man, it was just cold on your waders and didn't get much of a bite. Monday and waited again on Tuesday, and it was a whole lot better. I think the water temperature came up a whole bunch, probably 5 or 6 degrees, and we had a good bite wading over shell and did all right. And then middle of the week, heck, I went looking for turkeys Wednesday and Thursday, just checking things out. Seeing
yeah, you told
gobbling.
Me you were going to do that. Did you see a lot of turks?
Yeah, I did. I sure did.
Yeah.
And there, all the gobblers were together. Didn't see many hens at all, but saw gobblers together. They weren't gobbling yet. I had a couple of them puff up on me just a little bit, but not
right.
not like you know, not like you, they're ready to do. And
not when the mating season gets here.
No, you know, and you kind of coincide that with. I don't see any. There wasn't any wildflowers yet, you know, and that was on.
Right.
That was on Wednesday, but now, you know, yesterday I was out and I see wildflowers on the side of the road. Just all,
where,
you know,
what
all
area are you at on your turkey hunting?
Refugio County.
Okay, yeah, you're down there then. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, it's an easy ride for. It's about 2 hours for me.
Yeah,
here and it's not bad. You know, on a day off in March and in April, like on a Monday, Tuesday, if I've got an opening, man, I'll get up at 3 a.m. and roll down there and
sure.
Think I'll be sitting in the woods when the sun comes up and I'll hunt and I'll come back and take care of, you know, business. It's just a flying trip, but it's a pretty cool place and a lot of turkeys, man. I enjoy that. I really do. It's something. It's one of the last primal things I think you can do in the woods, and it's just truly wild, you know.
Searching for cool. Bigfoot.
Yeah. It's, and you know, there's it's a deer ranch. It's a really solid deer ranch. So there's sheds all over the ground. You see it, you know, you're seeing
yeah,
what's
it's shed
there.
Season. It's everybody's cool. Picking up mm-hmm. sheds now.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And I guess Friday, yeah, we had a good bite Friday. Pretty good bite in the afternoon, fished the afternoon Friday and had a good bite. And then yesterday it was beautiful. Not much wind and man, just struggled. I mean, just struggled every caught. I tell you, we caught, I don't know, probably 20, caught at least 20 trout and redfish, but every one of them, every single one of them were undersized, just a little bit, but you know, water temperature rose again. It was about 63, 64 degrees.
Yeah.
And just little fish everywhere, and you know, hadn't had that. And
yeah, it's weird. But after that first Arctic blast, the fish went nuts behind it on the warm mm-hmm. up, and better fish were caught. And now after this second Arctic blast, it's lots of little fish and not many good fish. So
yeah, and you know that.
You know, that water got cold again, man. I mean, that was two events in a row together. That's a lot of stress on them fish, man.
I'm telling you, Monday, I can't tell you how cold I was in the
yep.
in the water, my feet, you know, and I just, man, it was cold, and you know, in the water temperature in the 40s, you know, it was just really, really cold, Isn't it crazy how that just happened coastwide? Everybody's seeing the same thing. I mean, it's amazing.
Right.
It affects, you know, that way, because we had been such on a good bite. I mean, they're still there. Fish are still there, you know. And it's just beautiful yesterday, and everybody thinks you're going to go out there and bang them, and you ride through the fog that morning, and you come out, you know, I couldn't get my people. I think we'd have done a whole lot better wading.
Right.
I feel like it, you know, because you knew we were going to have any wind to drift. I had to get on the trolling motor.
It's like that. It's hard to, you can't move around, can't cut a good drift. And plus, you know, that shallow water is going to be warmer, and that's where the fish and the bait
yep.
want to be. That's where they want to go. They want to go skinny.
That's exactly right. We pulled up Tuesday the same, you know, the water temperature was still about 49 Tuesday, and I pulled up in the shallows, man, and it jumped to like 52, 53. I said, oh, okay, here we go,
yeah.
You know, and it got a bite there, you know, and that's where it was. And but it makes all the difference. That's what you deal with in spring, you know, at least February's over with and March is here, and, you know, people's sunshine's out and people – it seems like when the calendar hits March, they flip a switch and want to fish.
Yeah.
They you know, they've got a, you know, you got something about February. They just don't think they can catch fish, but.
And actually February, you know, if your weather's good enough where you can get out there a bunch, it's better actually to me than, Well, for up here, April's one of the worst months. I hate April.
Yeah, it is.
and I think it's about kind of the same for y'all, too.
It's up and down in April.
Man,
it
just makes for slow trips.
It is. It's so up and down in April. So up and down. But, man, I've had some downs, but I've had some just, of course, if you fish enough, it's going to happen. But I've had some of the biggest trout days of my life at the end of April. And I don't know around a certain date down there that just, man. But overall, April's just is iffy, you know. The days you think you're going to get them, you don't get them. You you're going to struggle, you get them, you know. I hate using the word transition because it's so overused and cliche and everything, but, you know, everything's a transition, you know. But
nowadays,
it's just, exactly.
I won't elaborate on that. But.
You don't have to. I think everybody knows. that's what's going on. And you just fish through it, man. You just fish and you just go. We ran into a bunch of big old redfish this week, man. There's big redfish roaming in the middle of our bay right now. Just you catch them one day and the next day you don't. But tides are still low, you know, so they're off the shorelines. And they come out there and just roam, you know, and eat. And there's some bigger fish, bruiser fish in West Bay as well. For those guys that are just chasing redfish, just some good ones. But, you know, mullet flipping and everything yesterday, more activity, just not as good a bite. Of course, you didn't have a cloud in the sky. You had a different barometer, you know, a little higher barometer. So, you know, I guess that's what we call all that guide talk. We try to figure it out, but we want to catch them every day, but, you know, the reality is we don't catch them every day, but we try to put you in the play your percentages and put you in the best spot we can. We try to put you in enough 2-0 and 3-1 spots at the plate. You know, that's the best time to hit. So that's what we try to do.
3-1. That's ball talk there, baby.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And things are starting to light up in Matagorda. People are starting to come back. Well, you know, it gets dead over here after Thanksgiving, kind of after the boat parade, right before that, you know, we just don't have the traffic. And you know, the people that know the fishing, you know, the ones that really get after it are here and they're fishing. But, you know, as far as our tourist traffic and everything, our vacationers and our renters and all that, beach goers and all that, they don't start showing up till March, and so that's what's happening right now. We're kind of getting ready for that, and you know, spring break will start next week, and we'll have a lot of folks on the boat. We'll, you know, we're fishing morning and afternoon, and we're kid friendly, and you know what, we want you to bring your kids, and because we need your kids from you know, they'll be mamas and daddies one day and bring their own kids. And, you know, it's just, if they're not out on the boat, not shown that at a young age, you know, there's a good possibility. They won't ever get on the water.
They won't
have
any interest ever. Yeah.
No.
They want to do what their parents do, you know?
Yes. Yep. Exactly. The environment they grow up in is what
share your passion with your kids, and they'll they'll share it with theirs one day too. This becomes a way of life. Was for
exactly
me
right.
Anyway. There was no work for me with my mom and dad. Boy, they were fishaholics. Good gosh.
And man, what better way to be with your kids and be with your family? You know,
Turn them loose, man.
Turn them loose, you know, and get them away from all those, get them all off the phones and get them off the computer. Man, get out there and get some sunshine and show them how to work. And, you know, it's just, there's just fewer and fewer, you know, kids that work these days and kids that can do that are superstars. And it used to be just so many of them, but they're just fewer and fewer. And, man, that, you know, parents just, they've got to spend time with their kids and get them out there. No better way to do it. And we, like I said, we encourage it and want them out there.
You know, both parents work hard nowadays and, you know, mm-hmm. for a better way of life, and it sacrifices other things.
Right.
I like being able to spend more time with them in the outdoors and everything. And then a lot of single parent families. I mean, it's just, times have changed. It's not like it was when we grew up.
No, there's a lot more things to grab people's attention and hold on to it.
What blows my mind is these parents with 4 and 5 kids, and all of them are in different sports programs and everything else. I don't know how they get them to the games and practice. And boy, you talk about a nightmare. Goodness, my hat's off to people like that.
I don't understand how they send them to college. I've only got one kid, man.
Boy.
I don't understand.
We've got friends with multiple kids. Of them through college, man.
My Lord. I know, but we're hoping we see more kids next week, and we probably will be coming
out of the woodwork. Yeah. Spring break gets kicked in, nice weather, and it'll help.
Yeah, I don't know if our,
hey, man, I'm glad I got a hold of you this morning, able to check in with you and everything. If somebody wants to get over to Matagorda and come lodge up and fish up and all that, and give them some info how they can get a hold of you, man.
All right, Matagorda Sunrise Lodge, 979-241-1705. Give us a text or call, or you want to fish, you want to just vacation, rentals, whatever, we got it all. And I think the pool might be warm enough for spring break, get the kids out there.
Well, for the kids it will be, not for me.
Yeah, not for us.
No way, Jose. All right, well, I see our old buddy Tommy Boy, he won 1 hour yesterday. I think he got first in 1 hour and 10th in another.
Yeah.
So
he's
making a little money.
Bubba Big Bass is what we call him now.
That's it, man. He sent me a picture of it. It was a nice bass. Good fish.
I hope
he gets a 9 or a 10 today.
That'd be nice. Let him a boat.
Yeah, old Bubba. Old Tommy Boy. All right, man. Well, Bink, always fun talking to you, man. You have a good Sunday, and I'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, we'll see y'all.
Catch him up. Later, man. All right, that's Captain Bink Grimes down in Matagorda. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back next Thursday morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610. KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.